Chapter 15. Courage.
Genetically, they're identical twins. The only difference is Anton's key.
So the Delphiki have two sons?
The Delphiki have one son, Nikolai, and he's with us for the duration. Bean was an orphan found on the streets of Rotterdam.
Because he was kidnapped.
The law is clear. Fertilized eggs are property. I know that this is a matter of religious sensitivity for you, but the IF is bound by law, not...
The IF uses law where possible to achieve its own ends. I know you're fighting a war. I know that some things are outside your power, but the war will not go on forever. All I ask is this. Make this information part of a record, part of many records, so that when the war ends, the proof of these things can and will survive, so the truth won't stay hidden.
Of course.
No, not of course. You know that the moment the Formics are defeated, the IF will have no reason to exist. It will try to continue to exist in order to maintain international peace. But the League is not politically strong enough to survive in the nationalist winds that will blow. The IF will break into fragments, each following its own leader. And God help us if any part of the fleet ever should use its weapons against the surface of the Earth.
You've been spending too much time reading the Apocalypse.
I may not be one of the genius children in your school, but I see how the tides of opinion are flowing here on Earth. On the nets, a demagogue named Demosthenes is inflaming the West about illegal and secret maneuvers by the Polemarch to give an advantage to the new Warsaw Pact. And the propaganda is even more virulent from Moscow, Baghdad, Buenos Aires, Beijing. There are a few rational voices, like Locke, but they're given lip service and then ignored. You and I can't do anything about the fact that world war will certainly come. But we can do our best to make sure these children don't become pawns in that game.
The only way they won't be pawns is if they're players.
You've been raising them. Surely you don't fear them. Give them their chance to play.
Sister Carlotta, all my work is aimed at preparing for the showdown with the Formics. At turning these children into brilliant, reliable commanders. I can't look beyond that mark.
Don't look. Just leave the door open for their families, their nations to claim them.
I can't think about that right now.
Right now is the only time you'll have the power to do it.
You overestimate me.
You underestimate yourself.
Dragon Army had only been practicing for a month when Wigan came into the barracks only a few seconds after lights on, brandishing a slip of paper. Battle orders. They would face Rabbit Army at 0700, and they'd do it without breakfast. I don't want anybody throwing up in the battle room. Can we at least take a leak first? Asked Nikolai. No more than a deciliter, said Wigan. Everybody laughed, but they were also nervous. As a new army with only a handful of veterans, they didn't actually expect to win, but they didn't want to be humiliated either. They all had different ways of dealing with nerves. Some became silent, others talkative. Some joked and bantered, others turned surly. Some just lay back down on their bunks and closed their eyes. Bean watched them. He tried to remember if the kids in Poke's crew ever did these things, and then realized... they were hungry, not afraid of being shamed. You don't get this kind of fear until you have enough to eat. So it was the bullies who felt like these kids, afraid of humiliation but not of going hungry. And sure enough, the bullies standing around in line showed all these attitudes. They were always performing, always aware of others watching them. Fearful they would have to fight. Eager for it, too. What do I feel? What's wrong with me that I have to think about it to know? Oh, I'm just sitting here watching. I'm one of those. Bean pulled out his flash suit, but then realized he had to use the toilet before putting it on. He dropped down onto the deck and pulled his towel from its hook, wrapped it around himself. For a moment, he flashed back to that night he had tossed his towel under a bunk and climbed into the ventilation system. He'd never fit now. Too thickly muscled, too tall. He was still the shortest kid in battle school, and he doubted if anyone else would notice how he'd grown. But he was aware of how his arms and legs were longer. He could reach things more easily. Didn't have to jump so often just to do normal things like palming his way into the gym. I've changed, thought Bean. My body, of course. But also the way I think. Nikolai was still lying in bed with his pillow over his head. Everybody had his own way of coping. The other kids were all using the toilets and getting drinks of water, but Bean was the only one who thought it was a good idea to shower. They used to tease him by asking if the water was still warm when it got all the way down there, but the joke was old now. What Bean wanted was the steam. The blindness of the fog around him, of the fogged mirrors, everything hidden so he could be anyone, anywhere, any size. Someday they'll all see me as I see myself. Larger than any of them. Head and shoulders above the rest, seeing farther, reaching farther, carrying burdens they could only dream of. In Rotterdam, all I cared about was staying alive. But here, well fed, I've found out who I am, what I might be. They might think I'm an alien or a robot or something, just because I'm not genetically ordinary. But when I've done the great deeds of my life, they'll be proud to claim me as a human, furious at anyone who questions whether I'm truly one of them. Greater than Wigan. He put the thought out of his mind, or tried to. This wasn't a competition. There was room for two great men in the world at the same time. Lee and Grant were contemporaries, fought against each other. Bismarck and Disraeli. Napoleon and Wellington. No, that's not the comparison. It's Lincoln and Grant. Two great men working together. It was disconcerting, though, to realize how rare that was. Napoleon could never bear to let any of his lieutenants have real authority. All victories had to be his alone. Who was the great man beside Augustus? Alexander. They had friends, they had rivals, but they never had partners. That's why Wigan has kept me down, even though he knows by now from the reports they give to army commanders that I've got a mind better than anybody else in Dragon. Because I'm too obviously a rival. Because I made it clear that first day that I intended to rise, and he's letting me know that it won't happen while I'm with his army.